This podcast is brought to you by She Society, sharing the perspectives and stories of women Australia-wide.
Good morning, it's Michelle Beasley from Buzzing About Books. This morning I have a lovely interview for you. I'm in the State Library Cafe here at Southbank. I've got an almond milk latte and my friend has a skinny flat white, and we're about to talk to Julie Fison, with author of One Punch. Now, One Punch was released last year, so I'm interested to see how it's been received, how Julie has gone with all the marketing and book talks, and to get a few ideas of my own about whether she's a plotter or a pantser. Good morning, Julie. Lovely to have you here.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks very much for having me, and thanks for the coffee.
Oh, no worries at all. Lovely to be here. Now, you're a mum of boys, a keen traveller, and you wrote children's books. How did you transition into writing a novel?
Well, I guess I wrote kids' books when my kids were young. So I started off, my background is in journalism, so it kind of didn't feel too far away to get into writing for kids. But it was a lot harder than I imagined. I thought, how hard can it be to write a book for kids? Apparently it's a little harder than I thought. But I think having kids, that I knew my audience, so I knew what they liked, and I could test my books on my market without too much trouble. So I wrote 11 books for kids and young adults, plus a play. And then my kids finished high school, and I thought, right, well, really, I think I've done, in my mind, I know lots of people continue writing kids' books forever, and that's amazing. But for me, I had lost the voices in my head and around me. So I really got to the stage where I wanted to write a book for adults. I wanted to write a book for people like me, for my book club, for my friends. And what I really wanted to write was a story about friendship and three women going on a road trip, and a bit like a Hazard River adventure series from my kids' books.
Yes,
adults, But the more I thought about it and wrote about it, I did write a short story, but there was another story ticking in my head that had been there for quite a while. So back in 2016, the first year my son was out of school, there was a very, very tragic One Punch attack in the valley, and a boy died as a result of the injury. And it terrified every parent, and we were all really put on notice, absolute tragedy for the family, everyone who knew him, but everyone else was also quite deeply affected. But at least I thought the boys understand the dangers when they go out at night. They need to be cautious, they need to stay together. But I found that the boys were coming back with stories of another person being punched and ending up in hospital, so that it just was going on all of the time, and a friend's son was punched unconscious and kicked in the face while he was down. And it really stayed with me, that issue. And then when I started to think about a story for adults, I thought that's something I really actually want to write about, because it's an important story for me to tell. And I felt like, as I didn't have a personal experience of a really deep tragedy, but I did have experience of being a mother of boys and lots of sideline stories from, all of my days standing watching football matches and etc., and being in the canteen and tuck shop, etc. So I had lots of mother stories to draw on as well. So that's what I really wanted to tell, a story from the two mothers at the centre of a tragedy. So I did some courses and, got a bit better equipped to write a story for adults, because it's going to be a bit longer, but it made it a bit easier because I was just writing in the voice of a mother, or two mothers actually, rather than trying to drag a 10-year-old boy's voice out of my head. So it did really change. But in a way, writing for kids was a good good background, a good, you know, good way to start writing shorter stories and then kind of graduating to a big one.
I heard Josephine Moon recently, she said a lot of people skip that step of either short stories or sending to competitions or writing children's books, which I know is very hard. I've tried to do that, and it's, you know, the words you can use, and it's very different, but it's a good stepping stone, isn't it, to writing a huge novel, which is a big undertaking. And with the topic, as mothers of boys, both of us, it's your greatest fear when they start going out at night, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it never seems to stop. Once alcohol's involved and boys, and I had boys who think they're really funny, and I'm like, just don't be funny. Other people mightn't think you're funny at all. It's those sort of things that a constant worry in the back of your head when they're at that age. Now, as a mother, I felt for both of the mothers in your story. You wrote them so well. It was almost like a Jodie Picoult with the one version and the other, and I kept swinging between which point of view I was veering towards, depending on what they were saying. Is that what you meant to do, and can you tell us about both of those mothers?
Okay, so the story I wrote is about a boy who's knocked unconscious and left with a brain injury after a one-punch assault. And I wanted to write the story from both mothers' point of view. So the point of view of the mother of the victim and the mother of the perpetrator, potentially the perpetrator. Initially, I had just thought about it in terms of the mother of the victim, and I had a lot of sympathy for her, obviously.
Yes.
But the more I thought about the story and thought it, you know, how easy it could be for any boy to just make a really bad decision, and these things just happen in a split second, and anyone can be a victim, and, you know, like perpetrators. It could be your son as well. So I wanted to write the story from both points of view. I think my background as a journalist kind of came into that because I wanted to give them both equal time and an equal chance to explain their motivations because they both make very dubious decisions. But I think at the heart of it, they're trying to protect their boys. They're trying to do everything they can to protect their boys. And I think mothers, you know, all mothers can relate to that. And, you know, you might not agree with what they did, and, you know, quite possibly you'll think, oh, I might do something else in that situation. But I think until you've been in that situation, who knows what we might do. And I think it would be a very difficult situation to be in. You know, you would feel so angry towards the boy who punched your son. You know, how do you deal with that? And if you think your son is the perpetrator, do you just go straight to the police, or do you do something else?
Yes.
So I think it's not an easy cut and dried thing to decide.
No, it was so balanced, and as I said, I kept swinging from one to the other, and I really thought, as a mum, I don't know what I would do, because thankfully I've never been in that situation. And ultimately, both mothers come from a place of love and protection, and they want to get all the facts too. It's not clear cut exactly what's happened. So I guess until you really have something concrete, you really don't know. And you veer towards, oh, my kid's, you know, doing the right thing. I know them. So, yeah, I loved all of that. And I really did whiz through the story so quickly. And, yeah, loved all the characters. And I loved that they had different professions, were different kinds of women, but ultimately the same, because they both had the best interests of their sons at heart. So yeah, really well done, and I can see your journalistic background there. It was wonderful. And did you have to research much along the way?
I did a lot of research. Yeah, I did a lot of research. So I could obviously draw on my experience as a mother without too much trouble, but I don't have a medical background, and there is quite a lot of medical knowledge needed to write the story. Not that it's a medical story, but I had to know what I was talking about. So I did interview neurosurgeons, speech therapists, and nurses, and other doctors, just to get an understanding of head trauma, brain injury, and the possible consequences. But the thing I kept finding is, you know, I'd say, well, what happens if such and such happens? And, you know, the doctors would always say, well, it depends. It depends, because there's so many variations. So that's what I wanted to bring into the story as well, as a mother in the hospital system, not understanding what's happening, not being able to get a definitive answer, because literally no one knows what the next stage is going to be, how long this might take, the recovery time, will there be a full recovery? And because every situation, every injury is different, and some people might recover quite quickly from a brain injury or even a concussion, isn't it? But, you know, there might be a quick recovery, or there could be a very prolonged impact. So I think that confusion really adds to the, you know, the terror and the, you know, the grief when your son's in hospital and, you know, you're dealing with that. And I also did a lot of research on the internet of, you know, victims of assault and the consequences, you know, on the legal side as well. So I did a lot of research for that, and it was very harrowing, actually, writing the first reading the first hand accounts. But I didn't want it to be a personal story from, you know, about someone.
Yes,
I wanted to it to be, it's fiction, it's, you know, it's something that I wanted people to be able to relate to without it being someone's personal story.
Oh, yes, and that's what I was afraid of. I think I kind of avoided your book for a little bit just because of the topic. I just thought it would scare me, and I don't know, you don't want to invite things like that into your life. But it was very well done, and, you know, once I started reading, I couldn't put it down. So don't shy away from it just because it's a difficult topic that might scare you as a mum. It's a really, really well-balanced view of the issue, and it's a complex issue, isn't it? You know, there's no one solution, and we've tried everything. It was written very, very well. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to add in all the family dynamics as well, so there is a lightness to it and not just a sad. It's not just a sad story. It's a confronting topic, but it's also a story of family and love and friendship and, you know, best friends and who gives the right advice and where your moral compass stands.
Oh, I love that part, because it did make you think, and it made you think for a long time after you put the book down, and I've had discussions with friends since then. So I think it would be a great book club book, and you have been visiting book clubs, haven't you?
Yeah.
What's the response been from them?
Yeah, it has. It's been great. I've really enjoyed visiting friends' book clubs and friends of friends' book clubs, because it is a topic that's, you know, really does generate discussion. What would you do if you thought your son was the perpetrator of any crime, really? Would you hand him in? Would you take him to the police? And I think people with younger kids go, yes, definitely the mother should have taken it. It's very clear cut.
Black and white.
Very clear cut. I think when your kids are young,
yes,
because you
do the right thing.
Do the right thing. And you sort of think an 18-year-old, so the boy who is the suspected perpetrator is last year of high school. He's 18, so he's an adult. But if you've got kids that age, you know they're still boys.
Exactly.
But if you've got younger kids, it's like, he's an adult, he should know right from wrong. And of course he does know right from wrong. But do you want your son to end up in jail?
And that was one of the tragic parts, that because he was 18, he'd be tried as an adult when he was intellectually the same as his peers in year 12. He was still at school. But that was, I can feel it now in my heart. I felt really scared for that mother, that her boy would be put in with hardened criminals and that things would happen to him in there you'd be so scared of.
Yeah,
so I could see her dilemma.
It would be a very difficult decision, I think mostly CCTV footage probably takes all that decision away for you. But if, you know, it would be a very difficult thing to hand your kid in knowing that they would go to jail. Yes. That would be a very difficult decision. So it is a good topic for book clubs,
Yes, really good. So if you've got a book club and you're looking for your next read, I can recommend One Punch. It's a wonderful read. Also, to get onto something a bit lighter, as a writer, I always ask other writers, what are you, a plotter or a pantser?
I'm sort of half-half, I guess. And I think I do quite a bit of plotting, but not heavy, heavy plotting. And I think that comes from, I did a series when I was writing for kids, a Choose Your Own Ever After.
Oh, I love
couple
those.
Of books.
Yeah.
And that involved one story having 6, 7, 8 possible endings.
Oh.
You cannot wing that one. You have to know where your story is headed. Yeah. And you have to have the start of every thread in the first chapter. So you have to know exactly where your story is going to go at any particular point.
Like a spider web, isn't
it? It is like a spider web. So I don't think I was a very good planner before I wrote those stories, but after I had finished writing those stories, I was a much better planner. And I think because I couldn't have done it any other way. And I think it did teach me that you can save a lot of time by writing a rough plan. And for me, I don't stick slavishly to
because
it.
Because people come into your head, you're like, where did that come from?
Oh, that's what they're going to do next. Oh, I didn't realise that secret was hiding back there. And you, once you're into a story, that's the joy of writing, isn't it? That you actually can see where your characters, you know, like their weaknesses and their strengths lie, and, you know, various things about your characters that you didn't realise before you started. And also things about them that would make sense in that story that you hadn't really. So I think if you spend a lot of time planning a character and then it doesn't quite work in that story, then I don't know, I feel like I had wasted a bit of time, or maybe I'd be a bit too fixed on a character's, you know, kind of whole vibe, and not, you know, have to change the plot around it or something like that. So I think having an idea and maybe some plot points that you want to hit, or a few scenes that you can imagine.
You really need those crucial moments.
A few crucial moments. And then, you know, feel flexible and don't worry too much if the ending, you know, changes completely. My ending always changes completely as I'm writing it.
Well, as does mine.
And then the editor goes, I think we need another change there. So I don't worry too much if the ending isn't 100%, because I know editors can, you know, see.
They can
see through that. They've got a vision.
They know what readers want as the ending, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing. They always make the book better.
Yeah,
in
definitely.
Spite of it tearing your hair out sometimes.
And your first reaction is always, well, what would they know about my character?
Yes.
But it is, you know, it is great. You always come back to, that's a good point. Yes, I think that's right.
The age on me now too helps, because I'm not, constructive criticism doesn't hurt. Whereas if I was younger, I'd be quite indignant about having to change all these things. But now I just go, okay, they know what they're doing.